Welcome into ABQ Connect. My gracious friend Steve Ryman is behind the microphone today producing the show, and we appreciate him letting us be here. I'm with my friend Carlos Griego, the owner of Bosky Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, fire, flood, restoration, roofing, and all kinds of other available services, Carlos.
Anything we get our hands on, absolutely.
Hey, I appreciate you being here. And the reason that you're here, Carlos, is you were a major sponsor of the Where's Dad special that we aired on Father's Day. And we want to talk about your own experience growing up and why you chose to be part of the Where's Dad celebration. So, hey, tell us about yourself, Carlos. I mean, you've worked for a large plumbing company many years, one of their managing supervisors, and
yes,
had great success. They actually gave you their blessing to go out and start your own thing, and you've done that very successfully. But there's things that we talk about in church. There's responsibilities. We talk about men stepping up, and as a young person, you
right.
didn't have that ideal experience. Talk to us about that.
So the ideal experience, I don't know that there's such a thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that real?
Is that real? That's right.
Yeah, I don't know that there's such a thing, but I guess, yeah, if you were to look at it from an idealistic standpoint, no, it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of spent a lot of my time on my own. Me and my older brother grew up together.
And in many ways, your older brother kind of stepped up.
He did.
To be dad.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made sure I went to school, made sure... you know, I was dressed and ready and all those things. You know, we both worked at a restaurant at the time, and I was about 13, 14, and he was about 16 at the time. And it was just me and him living together and take care of each other. We registered ourselves for school. And it was very different than most people's.
You know, what's interesting is I've had some service done by your company. And interestingly enough, just last week, I had Emiliano, your son, come in and talk to me, and I said, hey, your dad is going to be on the radio, and we're really talking about parenting and talking about the importance of dad. And your son couldn't say enough about you being his dad, and all positive.
I thought he would have just covered his face and ran.
Well, you're being humbled, but tell me how did you, and none of us are, I have five kids, and I'm far from a perfect dad. And dad changes, because when your children are three, you parent them differently than you do when they're 30.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. Absolutely.
But you're still dad.
You're still dad all the time. And
how did you, what motivated you? I mean, you could have just become a person that grew up without a dad and not think about parenting and those kind of things, but you were motivated a different direction.
I think in any situation like that, you kind of go one way or the other. It's kind of like a teeter-totter, you know. You could go, you know, to the dark side, or you could step into the light and see what, you know. So, you know, I would just strive to be the dad that I always wanted to be, you know, or I wanted in my life. That doesn't mean I was perfect. I messed up every day.
Yes.
I still do, you know. And so being the dad and trying to be the role model and all those things that you want to be for them, I think was the bigger thing. The guy that just was unshakable, yes. You know, for their kids is really, as a young man, that's what you're looking for.
Right.
You know, and, but you also got to have that balance of like, in my opinion, is kind of like a tenderness and toughness to, you know, where you could take them in and give them a hug, but at the same time, they don't know.
Yes.
You know, if they make a mistake, you got to be able to be tough and rough on them you got to discipline your kids either way.
Yeah.
And try to teach them the right way.
I always think about Hebrews 12:11. It says, discipline is never pleasant.
No.
But it yields for those who train by it the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
That's right.
And, you know, it's important that, you know, people understand discipline is not a bad thing, but it's got to be done in love, right? You just
yes.
mentioned, you know, the hug, the caring. Carlos, why were you and I started talking about the Where's Dad special. Calvary Church had this idea that there's a lot of men out there, they're divorced, or they're married, and they have children, and sometimes they take care of their kids, and sometimes they don't. There are men in this community that have been absent for their children for many years, and we came up with this concept of Where's Dad, really, I think, the brainchild of Chip Lusko and Skip Heitzig and others within the leadership of Calvary. And they wanted to, not that moms don't have responsibility, they
sure.
do.
Yeah.
But we really wanted to have an opportunity to call men to get out. Well, as soon as I mentioned it to you in like 2019, you said, I'm on board. When is it happening? Yeah. Okay. And then we produced a video that was shown on Channel 13 back on Father's Day.
Yeah.
And is available for people to watch now via streaming. And you can check that out on calvarynm.church. And you can find a link to that. So I'm asking you, why was it so important to you to sponsor this Where's Dad event?
I think anything with especially with dads, young men in general, a lot of us have been misled to believe what it means to be a man. You know, like, you know, we talked about this unshakable guy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not always the truth. It's not always the truth. I think sometimes what it means to be a man is sometimes you got to take a knee more often than you think, and you swallow your pride more often than you think. And I think that's one of the hardest things about being a good man and a good dad are those things. So, you know, we talk about these dads that are not involved, or they get really hardened by maybe a divorce, or maybe the family didn't work out. And I mean, I know lots of guys that have been through that. It's really hard for them to get through once they get divorced, and they kind of feel like, well, the family's not the family anymore. I'm just going to walk away from it. And that's not the way, because the kids need you more.
Yes.
I mean, that's what you're there for, and they need both parents. They need the dad, they need the mom.
In addition to your brother, who's how much older than you?
He's 3 years older than me.
So he's only 3 years older, but he really kind of took the place of dad. Who else was a mentor to you and helped you as you were growing up?
So I had an uncle named John, and he kind of took me up underneath his wing. And he was an entrepreneur. He owned businesses and ran businesses and things of that matter. And then, of course, lo and behold, here I go having a son when I'm 14, 15 years old, you know. And sure enough, you know, he took me in and, you know, he taught me, you know, pretty much how his business worked, how to run it, how to manage the day-to-day, how to manage the guys, how to deal with things. He even actually, you know, he basically taught me everything from how to walk and talk and dress.
Yes.
And it was seriously how to talk, because I didn't talk how I talk right now. Hmm. I had a different vocabulary. I spoke very differently. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that was good or bad. It didn't sit well with people at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like tattoos didn't sit well with people at the time,
yeah.
You know, back in the 90s. But, you know, these days everyone accepts it as normal, right?
Well, I want to ask you something. You mentioned about having a child when you were very young. There are people, Carlos, I mean, we've already mentioned it multiple times, that we all have sin in our lives. We're right. asking God for forgiveness. But I believe with Christians, there's no self-condemnation. We trust that God washes us of those sins. And I want to know, so you started off having a child very, very young. How did you come to faith in the Lord? And what was that result in your life?
That's a very long story. When I was a kid, little kid, we grew up in church. We grew up in a Southern Gospel church. One weekend, the next week we go to the other grandparents' house. We went to a Catholic church, and you know, went back and forth. And to make a very long story short, at some point in my life, I just continued on with my Christianity, continued to develop myself, and actually I came here to Calvary. Me and my son, when I was 14, 15 years old, we come sit right over here, and we just listen and hang out, mm-hmm. and. Over time, as I developed and grew, at some point in time, I think when you grow up that way, sometimes you might ask yourself, am I a Christian and believe in the faith, or do I really understand what I believe, and is it real, or is it like Santa Claus? Mm-hmm. And so the best way to, you challenge your faith and you go after it, and all it does is strengthen you and make you better and sharper, and iron sharpens iron, and you know, the more you challenge it, the more the more faith you develop over time,
yes.
to understand that these things are realistic. And then you start to lean and talk about the ultimate guide to be a dad.
Yeah.
Read the Bible.
Well, this is probably close to home, but now you are a business owner, very successful. You have men and women that work for you. What about their lives? How much are you involved in their lives? Do you see any self-condemnation, things where you want to just tell people, hey, it's okay, it's going to work out, the Lord's got you in his hands? I mean, do you have those kind of opportunities to encourage people?
It's every single day. Every single day. And the more people you get to work with, the more often you'll see those sorts of things, be it in their personal life where they made a mistake and they're really just beating themselves up over it. And it's kind of like, man, just take the loss and let's just keep moving forward. I mean, we got to roll through this thing. And then you see it in their day-to-day work. Mm. You know, I've seen people that make mistakes at work or, you know, say for instance, they flood a house or a bathroom. I mean, they feel really bad about it, but sure. I appreciate that a lot more than if they didn't have any feeling toward what they did and they just expected you to just accept it.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, it's, well, I'm glad, you know, that I understand that you'd realize that you made a mistake, but let's not let that carry our day. Yeah. No different than being a dad every day. I may mess up with my son in the morning on his way to school, but as soon as I pick him up after school, I got to make it right somehow. And I can't let the morning dictate that, the evening. Right? So every time, you know, you just got to shake it off and keep moving forward. But that's what the Bible's taught us to do.
Are you a grandpa yet?
Oh, no.
You didn't like that question, did you?
I'm not ready for that yet. I still got a couple little ones, you know, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a couple little girls.
But my son, I don't think he's ready to be a dad yet.
Yeah?
I asked him. He said, no, that's why I drive a Corvette.
What's nice though is that he has some perspective. I mean, you've shared with him about your upbringing, and he's obviously been in the experience with you as his dad, good and bad. And it obviously must be pretty good because now he's working with the company and following dad's footsteps, and by the way, does a great job.
I fought forever to make sure he didn't get into doing this. Well, and he fought forever to make sure that he did.
Yeah.
But that's what boys do, right? So,
that's.
But he's doing great. I'm very proud of him. I know his mom's extremely proud of him. And we actually did a good job raising him together. We was a little bumpy when we were younger. You know, we had a lot of issues because we were young, immature people, and we just made a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But as we grew and we developed, I mean, with him, I mean, we started to work more as a team towards his greater good, because that's what was more important is. Not me or her. We weren't caught up in that kind of stuff anymore. It was what's going to be best for him over time.
What's interesting, Carlos, is because you didn't grow up with a participating dad, but you had strong mentoring and love and guidance from your brother and from your uncle. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have that kind of thing. And now they're men, they're working, they're struggling to make their family work. Do you think there are some men who have fails, where they fail in some way, and they think they're beyond hope?
I absolutely believe that. Like lots of people think that they're beyond being saved or beyond anyone coming to save or turn them around. I think people could think that with their kids if they miss the first 10 years of their life. But what they don't realize is what difference can they make today? Mm. You know, how could they weem those children back into their arms and maybe even apologize? Because isn't that like the first step, you know, being a good father is learning to know when you've done something wrong and apologize for it. All right, and so they got to apologize, and they just have to learn to weem those kids back into their arms, just like our Father does us.
Yes.
With our love.
We are talking with Carlos Griego. He's the owner of Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, fire, and flood restoration. They also do roofing and a lot of other available services. Their phone number is 505-444-7200. HVAC Albuquerque NM.com is their website. Carlos has been a major sponsor of programming here on KLYT and a big sponsor of our recent Where's Dad event, which really doesn't end. It just kind of continues. We're really focused on families the rest of the year, and that's why you're hearing from Carlos today. We'll be back with more from Carlos Griego right after these messages. We're back with Carlos Griego. He is the owner of Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing. He is an entrepreneur. He grew up without a lot of participation from his dad, great mentoring from his brother and from an uncle and other people in his life, another plumbing company. They helped to mentor you and help you. You've Absolutely. Mentioned that over Yes. time. But I want to have you elaborate a little bit more about maybe you've been absent from parenting your children for, you use the number 10 years.
Yeah,
that's a long time. How, Carlos? You mentioned apologizing. Why is it so important? Here's what I wrote down. You said, "What difference can you make today? What, don't worry about the last 10 years. What
right.
What difference could you make today?" So, how do you get back? I mean, it's going to take some humble pie, isn't it?
It does, but then you have to realize that whether we like it or not, there's always someone looking at you. You know, those kids are going to look at you, and you're going to be an example to them, whether they want to admit it or not, today, tomorrow, in 5 years, 4 years. And the way that you treat and engage them is the way they're going to probably treat and engage other people, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And so you met my son, right?
Yes.
Is there any similar mannerisms to my son and I?
Well, I'll tell you what's funny. You actually have some similar speech patterns, but his voice isn't quite as deep as yours. Yeah. But I knew he was your son the second I saw him.
Yeah, so, you know, but everything kind of picks up, everything from speech patterns to body language, eye contact, everything you do. I mean, your kids are always watching.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a saying I learned from one of my mentors is more is caught than taught. And so the things you do are caught more often than the things you try to teach people.
Yeah.
And so how we carry ourselves every single day is way more important than what we're trying to teach people.
Carlos, I try to communicate to people, all people, because I know that the church has been a place for me. Unfortunately, when I was divorced, my church loved me and cared for me, and sometimes they kicked me in the backside because I was doing the wrong thing.
Well, sometimes you probably needed it, you know?
Yeah, but the point is that I wasn't shamed. I wasn't so-called judged. Now, I will qualify this. I think when people say judge, they mean, oh, you're being mean to me, or you're being unfair. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The things that people at my church told me was not only fair, but it was right. But it was sometimes painful. It was like, oh, wow, that's pretty convicting. I pretty much blew it, didn't I? But isn't that the healthy way to have a relationship?
It definitely is, but you got to develop the relationship first before you can have that kind of conversation with somebody.
That's right.
You know, with my son, even him being my son, we went through seasons when I could tell him things like that. And then we went through seasons where, you know, when he became 15, 16, he'd be like, what, hey, man, let's back up for a minute. You know, and it seems, I mean, you might have experienced this with your daughters.
Yes.
You just have seasons that you could have those kind of conversations and seasons where they're not too well accepted. And over time, I think we all have to realize that whether it's true or not, we own the perception that we leave other people. And that's a really hard thing to own. Mm-hmm. And whether you like it or not, whether it's true or not, if that's the perception you left with somebody, you got to kind of own it. And I think that's one of the later lessons I told my son as he was growing up and moving on. And he was in high school. I was like, hey, if you're hanging out with these kind of people and this is what they're known for, and people have their perception that you're just like them, you got to kind of own it, bud. Like,
yeah,
find different people to hang out with.
Yeah, and I think that sometimes there's people that are for you and there's people that are against you. And many times the people that are against you, you don't know it because they're kind of hanging around. But they'd undercut you in a second. You've been around people like that.
It happens all the time. It's, you know, I was listening to a short little sermon from T.D. Jakes. He said, I like my enemies to look like enemies. You know, and it's kind of the same thing because sometimes the people you think that are for you are actually against you, and the people that you think are against you are actually for you. And those are the people that you may think that are against you that are having those conversations with you that you don't want to hear.
Yes.
But it's because they care enough to have the conversation. Because it's harder to discipline, just like we said.
Yes.
It does not feel good.
Well, this might sound like a cosmic question, but you have a lot of wisdom because of your experience. But tell me about when you became a Christian or when you really committed yourself to Christ. I mean, you mentioned that you think you were a Christian at a pretty young age, but when you really committed yourself to the Lord, what kind of spiritual discernment do you feel like you have about these situations?
You know, it's a very tough question to answer that because, you know, it seems like throughout my life, I went through seasons where I really committed myself and then I kind of slid and I come back and really commit myself. But the one thing that I always knew is you always feel that conviction of when you're off the path a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think we all, you know, like your parents, you know, they teach you and they tell you, you know how to act. Mm-hmm. And you know how to act, right? So, and so I knew how to act and I knew when I wasn't acting properly. But sometimes when you act long enough, it becomes part of who you are. Mm-hmm. And so over time, and I just continue to develop. And you say, well, where do you find influence? Where do you, it's all around you. It's everywhere you go. You look at Skip and just watch how he engages with people, his family, his friends. You could always have a role model that you look up to. You don't have to engage with them directly. That's why I say if someone's always watching you, you could have a role model that you kind of watch indirectly, but you don't work with them directly.
Right.
You know, somebody at church that you really like. I remember I always had a thing for the cool guys. You know, I wanted to be a cool guy. I messed that up pretty good. But, you know, there's a lot of cool guys. And I was like, man, that guy's smooth. He's cool. Everybody likes him and dresses nice and gets along with everybody. And you just kind of watch him, man. And everyone picks up a role model. If you don't find a role, go find a role model. But find a good one, hopefully. Yes. You know, but you don't have to know them directly. You know, so that's kind of my thought on the whole thing. But as you said, like, you know, what kind of discernment? I just think you just feel it.
You feel like you have some supernatural insight sometimes into situations.
Absolutely. I mean, but it's one of those things, and I guess the best way it's ever been explained to me, it's like, you know, what does it feel like? It feels like the wind. You can't see it. You can't taste it, but you could feel it. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's happening.
And it's pretty clear where it's coming from.
Right. and so you just know. And so... I think that's one of the hardest struggles for people. You gotta lean on God. You gotta trust God.
Yeah.
And you gotta start to even trust that yourself, that God's developing you.
I had somebody recently tell me that they hadn't gone to church for a long time because they don't measure up to the standards of people at church. And I looked at him and I said, well, you're talking to a guy that's divorced and, you know, has failed in the marriage relationship. I feel like I will say this, I've given my best effort as a dad and I've loved my children, as best I could. And I feel like that's been energized by the Holy Spirit. Not always been a perfect dad, but the love I have for them and the dedication I think has been what they've needed. I wish I could have provided more resources. I wish I could have done, you know, more fun things, all of that stuff, right?
We could go to, you know, what if land forever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing we're talking about. You know, people say, hey, I don't feel like I measure up to what that is. But they don't realize, one, the church is like the hospital. We're all sick.
And that's
we're all struggling. And people got to realize this. You're coming here to get better.
And you're coming here to be with other people just like you.
Yes. And that's what you got to accept is, I'm not well, they're not well. I don't care how they look, but... this is where I'm coming to get better.
Now I'm gonna qualify something. I think there's people that have sin in their lives here. We've all made mistakes. But when people ask for forgiveness, you are washed whiter than snow. The forgiveness that Jesus extends to us through his crucifixion on the cross is just amazing. It's so refreshing. So like right this second, I don't feel ill. I feel blessed. But what my heart is trying to communicate is that there are people listening to this radio show and they're listening for a reason. They need hope in their lives. Please come be with us.
That's that loving, weaning people back into you.
Yes.
And extending love and not so quickly to extend the brash judgment or what they would call it or what they would assume it to be.
You said something earlier that you're already aware of when you do things wrong.
That's right.
I mean, it's like...
And that's their awareness. Honestly, you're talking about, like, they feel like, I don't feel like I'm good enough. They're aware that they're doing wrong things.
Yeah. But I want to encourage them, really, all you have to do is go before the Lord. Let me tell you, have you ever prayed together with other men where the men would say, Lord, please forgive me for this? I mean, that is so powerful with everybody that is listening to a man pray about that. Very valuable to do that with your kids, with your wife, with your entire family. I mean,
let's just shorten it up real quick. Very valuable to pray for your kids and for their forgiveness and your wife and their forgiveness. And even though they may not be praying, you can still pray for them.
Yes.
And that's also part of being a father, is you got to look over them.
Yes.
And protect them.
Carlos, we're at the end of the program, and I so much appreciate you being here. I love talking to you. We got to make this more frequent. We're going to continue talking about families and being great dads and great moms for the rest of this year. Carlos Griego is the owner of Bosque Home Services, Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Their phone number is 505-444-7200. Their website is hvacalbuquerquenm.com. Thank you, Carlos, for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Everyone have a good day.